You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
SBS.
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 SBS Radio.
Who exactly or what exactly are Laron dwarfs and what is their population around the world?
Right, so this is a rare disorder. So Laron dwarfism actually happens because of three reasons. The main, I guess the crux is that their receptor doesn't function. One, and that can be because of a mutation in the receptor, or it could be that the hormones is not being produced in good quantity. Mm. Or the third thing is the receptor doesn't have a mutation, but it essentially does not bind to the hormone properly. So the end point of all this is that if the receptor is defective or some other problem, it does not signal properly, which causes this sort of a dwarfism. Now, this is a rare disorder. I would say in the world, there are very few people, I think around 500.
Is it all?
Yeah, that's all for this. But what we actually get from this is that this population just tells us how important this receptor is. Because the fact that these dwarfs are not getting diabetes or cancer, it made us quite interested in to look at what the mechanism might be happening and if we can use it then to the general population, because diabetes and cancer, as you know, are major global killers.
Yes. So is your research the first ever to find this link that Laron dwarfs do not develop diabetes or cancer?
No, we didn't find that. It was actually a group. So basically, there's an Ecuadorian cohort. So they're found on mountains in Ecuador, mm-hmm. where the study came out in 2011, mm-hmm. showing that. Now, obviously, we don't have access exactly to those people. So what we did here in our lab was to use a mouse model that exactly recapitulates these people. Mm-hmm. And therefore, in those models, we were able to find out the exact molecular mechanism. I mean, it's understandable. No one will donate a piece of their tissue to us, mm-hmm. especially if it's quite invasive in the liver. So these things cannot directly be done on their samples. But what happens is the same people who found this connection of them not getting any cancer or diabetes, as you can imagine, it was a very long study going on for a long time. But they just reported it, that they do not have these issues. Mm-hmm. However, what we've done is we've gone to show the molecular mechanism, what's happening in the liver, what sort of communication happens with the other tissues in the body, and then come up with the precise mechanism. So what we've discovered is exactly a transcription factor or a signaling molecule, you could say, a protein, that is able to control these things.
Right.
So now we're hoping that future research by us or by others, because as the discovery is now out in the open, someone would be able to build on this, including ourselves, and we can see if we can apply something like this with general population.
So just to understand it, what you've done here in Brisbane in UQ is that you have replicated these Laron dwarfs, who you said aren't very many in number in the world. And after replicating, you have been able to isolate exactly that growth hormone, the lack of which is causing the fact that they don't get cancer or diabetes, right?
Absolutely.
So is that something now, is it ready to be applied into medicine straight away, or what else does it need to be done?
Oh, there's a lot more to be done on this. The first thing is obviously because there was no idea up until now what is the real reason. So what we just knew was that, if there's the hormone or the receptor is not functioning, you don't get diabetes. Mm. But that's not enough. You know, you cannot just go in a normal individual and stop that receptor like that. So you need to find the exact thing that's happening. Mm. And that's what we've done in this study. So we're hoping that hopefully down the line, now that we know a factor, if somehow we can design these molecules or drugs against this, which can selectively target.
Mm-hmm. I'm just reading the press release here, which says something called STAT5. So
yes,
that is the actual
the
growth hormone receptor?
No, that's not the receptor. That's the signaling molecule
right.
that is activated by growth hormone receptor. So again, if not just the STAT5, if we can block the receptor as such, we're hoping, again, these studies have to be done yet in humans and animals to see if that can sort of stop progression of diabetes or reverse diabetes as well.
Now, I'm going to ask you something which sounds like science fiction, but could it be something if you inject this kind of a hormone into an ordinary person, would that then make them shorter? Because it's only found in dwarfs.
That's a good point. Actually, it doesn't, because once your height is attained, you cannot go back. It's actually the bone length, you know, that gives you that height. So once that's over, it cannot affect your height as such. It may lead to other things, obviously, depend, like, you know, often you must have heard of doping. So athletes, one of the things that growth hormone does is it reduces the fat and increases the muscle. Right, so obviously having too much of it is bad, but in small quantities, I guess, you know, people do see these advantages of, you know, preventing muscle wasting and things like that. Right. But that would be a reverse of what we're saying here. We're saying that the receptor should be turned off, so that means somehow reduce the hormone and then prevent diabetes.
Right. Okay. I get
you. Often it's a fine balance. So you probably must have heard of people doing calorie restriction and things like that, or fasting.
Yes.
You know, fasting has been going on in our culture around the world, and fasting is a way to prolong your, not only just your health span, but also your lifespan. So one of the things that fasting also does is it reduces the growth hormone levels.
Right.
And therefore, that then helps your insulin sensitivity to be increased as well. So you can imagine, like, growth hormone sort of works opposite to what insulin does.
Right. In this larger scheme of things, how do you see this? Is this a really significant breakthrough that will start a new path of research?
I think, yes, it does, because of the mechanism. Now, like I said, there are a few things that, you know, not disappointing, but because, one, it's a rare disorder, we can't apply it to straight away, you know, a particular cohort of, I guess, sick people. But the thing is that because we've come up with the mechanism, now, there are so many other ways, if you know, that this is what's happening, and some of the molecules in that pathway can be targeted. So in terms of, yes, knowing the mechanism, it is definitely a breakthrough. And we're hoping that we can follow this up with using the same mouse models with, you know, the lifespan extension and things like that with calorie restriction that we see.
And how soon do you think you can have human trials?
I think human trials will always take time. First, have to start with, again, testing on mice, but I'm hoping maybe in, you know, 5 years' time, we can start on animals, and then, depending on the success of that,
take it from there
to humans. Yes.
Well, I thank you very much for explaining in slightly less complicated terminology as to what all of this means.
Right.
It's always very fascinating to see how new.
As scientists, we suffer from this, where it's so hard for us to explain things in, you know, simplest of languages. We often try, we ourselves get convoluted in all of this.
Now, let me assure you that it was very, very enlightening to have a chat with you. So thank you very much for your time, and congratulations for this breakthrough.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
SBS.
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 SBS Radio. Enjoy more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.